There is a missing word in the leadership lexicon. Let's talk about it. Welcome to On My Walk, the reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and leadership. You know, there are times when I feel like I'm riding the waves of some of the latest in what's being written today. And then there are times, like yesterday, when I feel like the guy sitting on the surfboard who has just watched the big waves go by. In fact, yesterday, I was both those guys. I finished American Kingpin by Nick Bilton, the page-turner that reads like a spy novel, but is actually the true story of Ross Ulbricht, a.k.a. the Dread Pirate Roberts, computer program, drug lord, and criminal mastermind behind the online site on the dark web called The Silk Road. You can head over to onmywalk.com if you'd like to read my review. Bilton's story is excellent, excellent, excellent. And yesterday, I also finished Khaled Hosseini's 1,000 Splendid Suns. Yes, I know, I am late to that party. This is the best-selling novel from 2007, which followed up The Kite Runner, his critically acclaimed work, published in 2003. If you haven't read 1,000 Splendid Suns, it tells the story of Maryam, the illegitimate daughter of an African businessman whose life intersects with that of Lila. Maryam is essentially forced to marry Rashid, a shoemaker who lives in Kabul, and she endures the pain of many miscarriages and with it, the pain of her husband's rejection, emotional and sometimes violently physical. And after almost two decades of such trials, enter the beautiful Lila. Lila, who's made homeless and familyless by the ongoing wars of Afghanistan, but now who is quote-unquote rescued by the aging Rashid, who takes this teenager into his home as a second wife with hopes that she will give him the son for whom he longs. Now, expectedly, the relationship between the two women is contentious, but over time, Maryam and Lila form an unbreakable bond of love, and over time, Lila, too, becomes the object of Rashid's wrath. And at one point, you got to hear this, at one point, in a fit of rage, Rashid wraps his powerful hands around her neck. He's going to strangle the very life out of Lila. And seeing that, Maryam, she claws and scratches Rashid in an attempt to pull him off, but is met with powerful blows, and he just pushes her aside. She's no match for this man. And she runs out of the house to a shed where she grabs the only weapon she can find, a shovel, which she uses with all her might, swings and brings it down on the head of Rashid, and once for all puts an end to this cruel, vindictive man. We standing from the outside might think, ah, peace at last, but no way. This is Taliban-ruled Afghanistan. Women have no voice. Now, Lila must take her children and run. But Lila cannot bear the thought of fleeing without Maryam. But Maryam, she refuses to go, and she uses that forgotten word of leadership. Listen to this.
You won't have to do a thing ever again. You rest, sleep in, plant a garden. Whatever you want, you ask, and I'll get it for you. Don't do this, Maryam. Don't leave me. Don't break Aziza's heart. They chop off hands for stealing bread, Maryam said. What do you think they'll do when they find a dead husband and two missing wives? No one will know, Lila breathed. No one will find us. They will. Sooner or later, they're bloodhounds. Maryam's voice was low, cautioning. It made Lila's promises sound fantastical, trumped up, foolish. Maryam, please. When they do, they'll find you as guilty as me. Tariq, too. I won't have the two of you living on the run like fugitives. What will happen to your children if you're caught? Tears brimming Lila's eyes, stinging. Who will take care of them then? The Taliban? Think like a mother, Lila Jo. Think like a mother. I am. I can't. You have to. It isn't fair, Lila croaked. But it is. Come here. Come, lie here.
Think like a mother. You know, many people hear the word leadership and they think macho, but Hosseini is reminding me of another important image, that of a mother. And when I look at leadership through my biblical lens, I see this quite frequently. In Romans 16, for instance, Paul uses a mother as an example of what great care looks like. In 1 Thessalonians 1, Paul, who's no softy and not a guy to pull punches, said, "We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children." And in his second letter to Timothy, Paul highlights the influential impact of Timothy's mother, Eunice. So when Mariam tells Lila, "Think like a mother," she was telling her, "Lead like a mother." Lila, make the hard choice a mother makes. Exercise the tough love a mother gives. Do what you don't want to do for the sake of those you really love. That's thinking like a mother. And that's leadership, isn't it? Hey, when it comes to your leadership role, in what ways or with what person do you need to think like a mother? Such an important thought. So today, my aha moment comes with gratitude to Khaled Hosseini and 1,000 splendid sons. He may not have been thinking about leadership when he put those words in Mariam's mouth, but they're just the words, often the missing words in the leader's lexicon that help us to lead better. And that's my thought on my walk. Think like a mother. Now, what will you do with that thought on your walk through life?